Welcome to the Holistic Career Change Podcast, one-stop shop for everyone feeling stuck in their career and who are looking to identify, change, and succeed at their new fulfilling work. I'm your host, Dilma Seita. Let's go. Hi, all. How are you doing? I'm back from the dead. Oh my goodness. It's been a moment since we've last spoke, and I missed you all so, so much. I'm going to come clean. I've been busy this summer. I'm not going to lie. I've been busy in my coaching practice. I've been traveling for work and pleasure, and I've been having such a beautiful and expansive summer. And those of you who've listened to my older episodes know that I do have a rather weird case of summer sadness. And this year around, I simply decided to change this. I coached myself on it. Back in spring, I think, as the summer was approaching, I was like, no, this summer is going to be different. And basically, I just challenged myself to fill my summer with fun experiences to combat my summer blues, if you will. And that, along with my thought work, has resulted in such a different summer for myself than I've ever had before. So I thought I'd share this with you as just a reminder that we can turn around and reframe almost any experience for ourselves. No matter how old, how familiar the story is, we can always, always choose to shift the narrative to create different thoughts and create more ease around whatever it is that we are aiming to shift. Whether it's our relationship with food or actual relationship or career, wink, wink. Is it always so straightforward? Hell no. Obviously, there are terms and conditions. We do have certain trauma responses. We have to talk about nervous system and all the good stuff. So this is not a magic pill. However, it's a very powerful tool to have under your belt. Anyway, enough about me. I'm actually like brimming with excitement today to be able to bring this episode to you. Now, this is a new concept, and I've created something that I feel like offers a new lens, a new perspective through which we can look at career change. I'm not going to lie, this took a few years to crystallize and map out, as it is essentially a summary of all the hours I've spent with career changers, having this front row seat on their change journeys. And the more I work in career change and alignment, the more infatuated I become with this beautiful transformative experience. And it almost feels like this time that I spend with career changers and observing these different experiences allows me to drop in deeper into this very multi-layered, complex, yet very magical field. So over the years, I've been observing, sketching out the patterns, similarities, and differences. And that all ended up coming together and turning into this metaphor of alchemy. Career change as a process of alchemy. Now, those of you in particular, I feel like, how should I call you? Spiritually curious, maybe, will probably enjoy this concept and get a bit of a kick out of it. Others, my more left-brain thinkers, may actually be a little more perplexed. Like, what does alchemy have to do with career change, you may think? Well, stick around and I'll walk you through this. If you've been listening to my other podcast episodes or you follow me on Instagram, by now you probably have gathered that my approach to realigning your career is not necessarily conventional. It's holistic, it's all-encompassing, it's about making space for that complex, imperfect, multi-layered humanity that we all contain within. And career change to me is firstly about inner transformation and identity change and a rebirth. I'm going to be honest though, early on when I started working with career changers, I actually thought that this journey was mostly about finding the right process, outlining intentional steps, creating a strategy, and then basically moving into transition. Right? I call it the very masculine way of looking at it. I was thinking a very linear structure, constrained fashion, and I didn't always make space for the mystique of finding one's one's way back to their truth or to their purpose, both in career and in their lives, because they go kind of hand in hand. And if you ask me now, after having held space and witnessed many purpose journeys, I'd say that our quest for purpose and career fulfillment is magic and mystery above strategy. And it's all about that inner alchemical transformation. But let me start from the beginning, okay? First, I want to really, really quickly set the scene and share with you a short story, if you will, on the origins of alchemy as modern historians define it now. Obviously, there is, you know, we can't be exactly sure. There's a little bit of guessing and assuming, and I will definitely not go into too much detail here, but I think it's fascinating to understand the history behind this mystical science of alchemy. So, it is believed that alchemy was actually born in ancient Egypt, where the word chem was connected to the fertility of the floodplains around Nile River, right? Then, around 300 BC, when Alexander the Great had conquered Egypt, he sort of brought in the Egyptian culture in the Greek culture, and a lot of Greek philosophers became interested in the Egyptian ways and Greek views of how matter is made up of four elements of nature, fire, earth, air, and water, were merged with some of the Egyptian sacred sciences, right? So there's a little bit of a union happening there. And the result of it was chemia, the Greek word for Egypt. When Egypt was then later on occupied by Arabs in the 7th century, they essentially added al to the word chemia. And alchemia, meaning the black land, is now seen basically as a possible origin of the word alchemy, right? So it's a beautiful history and sequence of everything that has been happening back then. Unfortunately, we don't know much more about this early period in history of alchemy, but we know that when Christians invaded Alexandria, they also burned the great library of Alexandria, sorry for the native speakers, I'm not entirely sure how to pronounce that. But basically, when they burned the library, they destroyed a lot of relevant works and a lot of original works on the science. Back then, it was considered a science of alchemy. What's fascinating, though, is that alchemy was also developed independently around the same time in China by Taoist monks. Isn't that crazy? Same with pyramids, right? Around similar time, you had pyramids built in different areas. By the way, if you just tuned in now and you were like, this is a podcast on career change. Why is she talking about history? Like, work with me, okay? So the Taoist monks in China, they pursued both the outer elixir and the inner elixir. Outer elixir was basically all about working with minerals, plants, herbs, which could prolong life. An inner elixir was exercise techniques such as qigong and similar ones that helped basically to manipulate the qi or the life force of the body. Now, around the same time, just like China and Egypt, India developed alchemy independently. And they had actually beliefs very similar to Chinese in that they used external and internal methods to purify the body and to prolong life in the same way. However, what's really interesting, Indians, by the way, who also in the work invented steel, very soon realized the importance of the flame of color in the identification of metals. Still with me? Okay, let's continue. This is where metals come in. And speaking of metals, back then, gold was seen as the perfect metal. And all others were less perfect, right? And this idea was extremely popular amongst Western alchemists at that time. So a lot of alchemists became literally obsessed with an idea that these lower metals or base metals can be transmuted into gold by the means of a substance known as the Philosopher's Stone. I know all the Harry Potter fans just woke up from a podcast slumber. They're like, huh? Philosopher's Stone? I know that. Now, again, I'm giving a very simplified, regurgitated version here because I'm not a historian, nor is this a podcast about that. So all amazing historians, if you're listening, please don't come at me. I'm just setting the scene here, okay? So going back to Philosopher's Stone. Back then, it was also believed to be able to offer immortality, by the way. Anyway, meanwhile, in Europe, at the same time, alchemy led to the discovery and manufacture of amalgam and evolution in many other chemical processes and the equipment required for them, right? And what was really interesting is that around 16th century, so quite some time after, the alchemists, mostly in Europe, had separated into two very distinctive groups. One group, the first group, essentially focused on the discovery of new compounds, chemical compounds, their reactions, and they were becoming, in a sense, the fathers of modern chemistry, right? Now, the second group, which, by the way, I identify with much more, they focused on the less tangible, the more elusive or spiritual, metaphysical side of alchemy, if you will. And they continued to search for that immortality and transmutation of base metals into gold. Now, this group then, in turn, inspired Carl Jung, right? The famous Swiss psychiatrist who, amongst his all research of many different religious, sacred, and mythic texts, was also a student of alchemy. And that whole metaphysical pursuit of alchemy inspired him to coin the term of spiritual alchemy. And spiritual alchemy is essentially a spiritual transformation, and he identified seven stages in the process. And while physical alchemy is concerned with altering and transforming properties within matter, right? In a nutshell, spiritual alchemy is more concerned with liberating your spiritual self and those parts of you that are trapped within you by the untrue, fake, socialized parts of yourself. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the lens through which, after some time of observing the career change journey, I started evaluating these experiences for people that come into my practice. And just like with the material alchemy, same with spiritual alchemy, it is an art, okay, based on patience, experimentation, and partly upon magic. I'm not gonna lie. And just like the alchemists tried to find the philosopher's stone that would allow them to transform lead into gold, in this process of career change, or at least the way I see it and the way I advocate for it, we too, metaphorically speaking, transform lack of meaning into awareness, into harmony, and into purpose. A true career change, as I'm sure I've mentioned on this podcast several times before, is first and foremost an identity shift, which means that through this process, we have to eliminate, like I said, inauthentic parts like old beliefs, concepts, wounds, fears, and all that is in a way of achieving our self-actualization in order to crystallize that authentic self. And once we have access to the authentic self, we also have access to clarity regarding true career direction. So it's all linked together, right? And I know that is a rather philosophical way to look at it, yet if you ask me right now, I don't think that at this point I can look at it at any different way. Because, okay, let me introduce this to you. So there are several types of change, especially when it applies to career paths. You may have a technical change, or you may have a transformational change. And let me quickly explain each. In my world, in my universe, in order to help people achieve real, long-lasting, aligned change, we will most likely than not will have to embark on that deep transformational change. Now, technical change is quicker. It's more surface level. It's basically identifying targets, defining the action plan to get there. It does not require much introspection. It does not ask questions. It's kind of like head down, let's just get it done kind of energy. It's specific, it's tangible, it's straightforward. It's a strategy, basically, of how to get from point A to point B in the most effective way. Now, here's a very interesting observation I've made. most of career changers, and maybe yourself included, crave for that sort of change, the technical change, or maybe at least have this expectation that their career change process will be straightforward. And honestly, they often believe that they just need a little bit of help, just to get a little bit more clarity on the next step and they can efficiently transition. Can you relate to this? Listen, we all have that part within us that wants or forces this expectation upon us to solve very complex problems with oversimplified solutions. And I'm definitely not here to say that we should overcomplicate life or solutions. I mean, I represent the coaching world. Above all, our main task is to support and equip our clients to get to their goals in the quickest way, exuding the least amount of energy and using the leanest process available. We live for it, okay? We love simple solutions. However, this is where we need to get super cautious and not oversimplify a transformational journey or transformational change, which is anything but simple, and in many cases, not as quick as we'd like it to be. If we want to do it right, that is. If we want to introduce that life-altering change that I talk about in this podcast, if that's what we're after, then technical change in most cases is not going to solve the underlying yearnings and won't help us build new sustainable careers. It just won't. And maybe you've already experienced that by changing jobs one after another and still not feeling you're in the right place. Because technical change is only effective when it's implemented on top or after transformational change. Technical change is just the conclusion of transformational change, the last part of it. And in that transformational change, we go deeper, we go to know deeper parts and aspects of ourselves. Parts of it will be tedious, chaotic, healing. It's a mixed bag of everything, but trust me, there is definitely some logic and order in the way that this process unfolds. What I'm trying to say here is that career change often proves to be so much more than just finding a new career path and switching our work circumstances. It's like a whole life overhaul. Or at least the way I see it or lead my clients through this journey, and I'm sure you heard some of my clients on this podcast. They're learning how to become more aware, how to start discerning the old sabotaging stories, how to start embracing new belief system. They are learning how to practice to give themselves permission to be more of their true selves and then transition. And that, unfortunately, is not something we're used to doing a lot. So for many of us, it's almost like new skills that need to be cultivated in the way that we communicate and relate to life and to work. Okay, so now that we have that underway and I set the scene a little bit, let me walk you through the process or the stages right now. As I've mentioned, there are 7 stages in spiritual alchemy, and I've also come to identify them within career shift journeys. And before I get into it, a little bit of a disclaimer. While I will be kind of separating and outlining these stages on their own, or in a linear fashion, the real life transformation is not always as neat and as straightforward, okay? And it will often resemble a storm that is hard to contain at the beginning, yet it has some sort of inherent wisdom in the way that it chooses to move. So more often than not, these stages that I'm going to share with you now, especially the first ones, tend to overlap. So just so you know, if you're going to be listening to this podcast, which I highly recommend, and trying to identify which stage you currently are in, remember that some of them may be merged for you, okay? Cool. So now that we have that covered, let me go into the first stage. So the first stage of the spiritual career change is calcination or the black stage. Black often represents chaos. And that is how many career changers will feel at the beginning of the process. Lost, confused, overwhelmed, stuck, disillusioned, lonely. This is the dark night of the soul of sorts, which, by the way, I talk about in this podcast, where aspects of our former identity are essentially resurfacing all at the same time to be seen, to be acknowledged, to be healed. But at the beginning, we don't know that. And we don't have that awareness. This stage is hard. It's messy. This is where we start questioning everything and everyone in this life. This is where we go through an existential crisis of sorts, a purification by fire, burning off all that no longer serve us, and transforming that hard shell we used to wear for protection into ash. We need to take it off if we want to drop deeper. So, as you probably gathered, the element of this stage is fire. This is a stage where we will most often feel lost, confused, overwhelmed, like I already mentioned, anxious, lonely, disillusioned, demotivated. We will lack so much clarity about ourselves and the direction of life in general we need to take. We literally may feel like we know nothing anymore. And there's often a huge sense of disconnection, and in some extreme cases, even a sense of pointlessness that we tend to experience for short periods of time, or maybe even extended periods of time. And circumstantially, if we look at the circumstances, this often looks like us being stuck in misaligned jobs, meaning dead-end jobs, or sometimes maybe even well-paid jobs. There might be a massive value mismatch between who you are and who you are becoming, and the values of this job or the place of employment. Lots of deep dissatisfaction at work. And when I say dissatisfaction at work, I mean like soul level dissatisfaction and suffering at work. Periods of depression, low energy, fatigue, foggy brain. This heavy energy, which we cannot sustain for all the time, often results in all kinds of coping behaviorals, like going hermit mode, wanting to disconnect from the world and even loved ones, hurting ourselves and shaming ourselves by comparing our journey to that of other people. I see you scrolling on social, judging others or ourselves, right? And engaging in all kinds of other unhealthy soothing mechanism, which is all an attempt to distract ourselves from our current reality, right? And do that by using overeating, overdrinking, binging TV series. In other words, just like buffering and feeling awful most of the time. Is the worst stage. It's hard. It's dark. There's not much light at the end of the tunnel when we're there. However, if we then make an intentional, conscious effort to continue down the path of healing and transformation, soon thereafter we'll probably enter the second phase, which is dissolution. So in the dissolution stage, it's all about bringing the unconscious to the conscious, and it's all about reconnecting to the shadow aspects and bringing these old unseen patterns into awareness. Juicy. Listen, again, being super real and raw here, it's a very confronting stage. Imagine suddenly the veil of years of all of these autopilot behaviors and thought patterns that we had to cope with life, that veil is lifted. And we start seeing all the ways in which we had previously kept ourselves stuck and betrayed ourselves, often without even recognizing that we were controlled by these mechanisms in the past. It's autopilot. We have no awareness. This stage is painful, and once we start allowing ourselves to feel, that's what happens here as well, there's a lot of initial grief and sadness involved, which eventually turns into compassion for ourselves and our story, because we didn't know what we didn't know, but we have to allow ourselves to feel and come to terms to these realizations. This phase cannot be successful if we haven't laid the foundation in the first stage. This is essentially the continuation of dissolving inauthentic self and parts of our old identity. and building on the work we've done in the first stage, just taking it a little bit deeper and accessing more vulnerable parts within us. In many ways, like I said, this phase is a deconstruction of those toxic parts of our ego. This stage is emotional. We often go through a turmoil of many, many intense emotions. We start to first feeling them, and then little by little start releasing these emotions, often caused by traumatic events that we had accumulated or pushed down. This is where we cleanse, we purge, we release, we integrate painful past experiences to make space for the new version of ourselves. So the element of this stage is water. We dissolve those old aspects of self and we start letting go. And the feelings that will usually be associated with this stage are often sadness, anger, grief, frustration, pain, this huge roller coaster turmoil of emotions, lots of moodiness. You may be going from a high to an extreme low in a matter of hours or like minutes. There's a lot of processing here, a lot of integration, a lot of release, and it's so required in order to be able to move on with the next phase. And when it comes to circumstances, because a lot of people will say, oh yeah, I resonate with this, I do have these feelings, but what does it mean to me tangibly in my life? So circumstantially, similar to the first stage, here in the second stage, we will still feel disconnected to the outer world. We will still feel paralyzed and not being able to make any decisions regarding the future and still feeling pretty stuck and in pain at that ill-fitting career and lifestyle, right? The difference is while the first stage is actually more passive, the second stage is going to be more dynamic. I mean, internally, not outwardly. Because in this stage, we will often find ourselves engaging in a lot of inner dialogues. And unfortunately, often it looks like self-shaming or finger-pointing. Because we start coming to terms and accepting how and why our lives turned out the way that they are. So we may either go witch hunting. In other words, we want to blame our parents, we want to blame the countries, the societies, the government who were responsible for shaping us. And, or we can do both, we may go into self-aggression and blame ourselves and our own lack of efforts. It's not advisable to do either of those, by the way. However, in this stage, sometimes what happens, in order to run away this heavy load of emotions that people are suddenly faced with, people may try to rush the process or start to almost like jump, quantum leap through decision making and try to find a different career, different lifestyle that would fit better. But I really would not advise you to make any decisions in terms of your future yet, because chances are that your choices will be very heavily influenced by unconscious patterns, trauma responsive, and all kinds of programming that all of us have, right? And as we continue, and if we don't get scared or put off, or like I said, end this process prematurely, we will then be allowed to move or graduate into the third stage of separation. By the way, what I mean by that is that the second career change or purpose finding stage is intense. We suddenly might start to feel all of the suppressed emotions that we were waiting to look at, and it's a lot. So that's why whatever support containers that you can get access to in this stage are so vital to be able to help you and support you as you transition into the third stage. And the third stage of the separation is about separating from your thought patterns and transforming your old limiting beliefs. This is where we start to learn only here how to manage our brains, how to create space between the thoughts and our reactions, where we start discerning unsupportive habitual patterns and start separating our truth from the acquired socialization, programming, conditioning, or the fake self we had so meticulously created in order to survive in this world, in order to be accepted, validated, etc., etc., right? This stage is a little more productive and a little more freeing and a little more transformative. This is where that like we can start to sense that things are cooking, things are changing. We finally start exercising a little bit more of that personal power. We have higher level of awareness. We feel like we have a choice in choosing the narratives and meanings we attach to any given situation, something that we might have felt like it was impossible in the previous two stages. And only here, this is that stage within a career change journey where we can finally start considering, politely inquiring about potential career options, because this is where we get the closest to our authentic truth and unique path, perhaps than we've ever been. This is where the fog starts to clear a little bit and where we start getting a better vision. However, I would really not advise, again, to commit to any career options yet, because this is still exploratory and this is still focused on inner work, right? So the element of this stage is air. And the feelings that the career changers will find themselves feeling here are more empowerment, more inspiration, a little more control. There will absolutely be some occasional doubt and confusion and questions, but there will definitely be more clarity than ever before in terms of who they are becoming, who they are not anymore, and what they actually want. Right? And those common life circumstances in this stage tend to be, well, first of all, a sense of acceptance of current reality, or a higher sense of acceptance than before. Because in the previous stages, career switchers often feel pain and this burning sense of urgency to leave, to move away, to run away from misaligned lives, misaligned jobs. In this stage, suddenly more peace comes in because you've made some space previously by feeling things, by integrating things. You were cleaning up to start creating more space for the new things and new realizations to come in. So we start seeing, firstly, we start seeing things as they are. We're less projective. We acknowledge we are misaligned. We stop making it mean anything about ourselves or our future. We can detach from the emotions, from our commitments, and we free a lot of energy to continue our quest for purpose-led career. We start to feel more confident in daily lives. We regain more trust and hope for the future, something that was impossible before, especially now that we're clearing those emotional blocks and feel more equipped to rewire old narratives, to change them into supportive ones. And again, like I said, we will still experience some doubt here and some confusion, but it will not scare us, it will not affect us, and it will not overwhelm us in the same way. We will see doubt, but we will not become it anymore like we used to. That's a good stage. And from my experience, I can say only here my clients and I can finally start the process of career design, finding the best matching option for them, because everything before that, honestly, is prep work and that foundational work. The example I like to share, which I heard somewhere else, I can't recall, it didn't come up with this, but I think like it's such a good metaphor for also changing careers or finding purpose, is imagining the process of building a skyscraper, which is when they start the process, right, before the plans are made and the engineers work with architects and kind of devise all of these intricate structures, and then these sort of plans are given and maps are given to the construction workers. They start at first by digging this deep hole in the ground and starting to build the foundational structural pieces that will form the basis for the skyscraper. And imagine you were passing by this construction site every day, right? So there could be months on end, you passing by and seeing no progress, except the construction workers walking around the hole in the ground, kind of doing something, right? And then you think like, oh, construction workers, man, the same everywhere. Lazy, don't do the work. One of them is working, 15 of them are looking at him work, right? You're like, what are they doing there? Like, why does it take so long? However, we know that in order to build a safe skyscraper that is going to last the test of time and weather and all of not, the key is in foundation. It has to be tight enough. Honestly, engineers now don't go at me either. Like I don't know the structural, the details of it, but the main essence is that the biggest piece, the most important work starts at the foundation, building it right, making sure that it's secure, but also that it allows for movement in the building, right? And all of the good stuff that obviously I don't fully understand, but months and months and months you will passing by, you'll see no progress. You'll be like, what are they doing? Up until one day you pass by and you see there is one floor already built. And then you pass by in a week and you see there are 10 floors there. And you're like, how the F did that happen? Literally, they were in this hole in the ground for months. And then suddenly in a couple of weeks, we have 20 story building and they're building more. It's because they did the majority of work. They prepped it, right? So then adding the different layers and the different floors becomes very easy. And that is the exact same thing we're doing when we're going through that transformational career change. The beginning may feel long and arduous, but once we have that solid foundation, adding the floors and building the most spectacular aligned career becomes so much easier. Okay, so the fourth stage, going back to the stages, is when we start seeing that movement and change. Or this is a stage that in spiritual alchemy is referred to as conjunction. And it's essentially assimilating all the parts that remain after we've gone through the last three stages of purification by fire, by water, and by air. Meaning, we are now left with many authentic parts, parts of our unique blueprint that we can collect and put together in a new way, in a way that makes sense to us and us alone. Here we start bringing them together under the element of earth. This is where grounding and embodiment starts to take place and shape. Conjunction is a beautiful stage of reunion of all these aspects within ourselves. It's a merge between inner masculine, that is structure, strategy, action, logic, safety, and the feminine, which is the flow, the creation, the intuition, the inner dance. We start making space and integrating all of them in a healthy, healing way. And this is a stage where we're starting to feel harmony within and around us, and we can finally start crystallizing the tangibles, the details, or the specific direction for that aligned career path. And commonly in this stage, the career changers will start to experience more acceptance, even more clarity, a lot of trust in the process and the unfolding on their journey, lots of devotion to this path and the new lifestyle that they're bringing in. And obviously, there will still be a few occasional triggers that they can now handle with more grace because they have learned so many tools and they have lots more self-compassion to hold them through the periods of these remaining question marks that are left in terms of the path. And when it comes to outward circumstances in this stage, we drop even more into recognizing that our life is the way that it is. Our past was exactly the way it was. We feel at peace with where we've come from and where we are. And because we feel so much more acceptant and balanced and grounded, this is where, from this space, the opportunities, ideas, and the long-awaited answers or guidance or signs are starting to come into our lives, sometimes even flood our lives. This is where lots of serendipity, signs, outward magic happens, as we are finally ready and open to receive and follow those signs we receive, and we start trusting the ideas that we conceive. And oh my goodness, I've actually have so many out of this world stories and signs and synchronicities that my clients have experienced. I actually even thought of collecting them and perhaps turning them into an episode or a part of the episode, because this will blow your mind. It still blows my mind what happens in this stage. And this is also the stage when we can finally, only now, by the way, really A, get to witness, B, finally get to incorporate our unique qualities like strengths, skill, gifts. This is where the blueprint that I speak about a lot comes into equation, meaning that this is where we can acknowledge and give ourselves permission to be who we were born to be, having peeled majority of the layers of who we are not. Okay? All starting to come together, as if it was a beautiful process of alchemy. How are you finding this so far? Have you recognized some of the stages which you are in right now? Or perhaps you're in some stages that I'm yet to share. Do check in. Okay, so we discussed the first four stages, and now we can look into the fifth stage, which is fermentation. Might sound a little gross, but actually it's a sexy stage. Because we again here build on the fourth stage, and we put together all those unique elements of what we identified in the previous stages, and now we cement them, integrate them at a deeper level, which much more awareness. And here this integration becomes more defined and more refined. This is when we start seeing the world through a different set of eyes, and it shifts from obstacles to opportunity and possibility. And if previously you were riddled with questions like how and why, it all naturally changes into why not? And why not me? When we integrate the values and have reclaimed our authentic self, making decision, many decisions actually, for the future career and lifestyle becomes much easier and much less dramatic. Because we are not busy, or we're not confused as much anymore, because we finally have that deep sense of knowing of what actually works for us and what doesn't. What is in alignment with our unique blueprint and what is not. And we don't feel bad anymore about not wanting or needing to be everything for everyone. We lose that sense of FOMO. We're not as affected by peer or social pressure because we have found so much peace and so much acceptance in who we are and what we want, that those triggers that used to affect us before honestly just don't have much hold on us anymore. We step into creator mode, right? And this is where all four elements that we spoke about before, that we went through before, come together. And they become present, fire, water, air, and earth. We have integrated all of them. And we will feel expanded, calm, aware, again, grounded. We have this ability here to surrender to life in a completely new way, to let go and trust that the unfolding of life in each situation is there for us. Oh, such a beautiful stage. And this is where finally our circumstances, outer circumstances, start to shift, right? Remember the skyscraper example? This is where the floors start to appear and they start going up quickly, because we are making decisions for our future here. We're setting healthier boundaries with people and work. And only here, mind you, only here, we start taking intentional action. We strategize and we build that transition plan for you. Only here, in the fifth stage. Whereas your brain will probably tell you that this is where you need to start the process. with all of the transition plans and strategy. No, this is the fifth stage of when we can finally do it the right way, right? I mean, if you're seeking to do this process respectfully and again, wanting to create that sustainable change, maybe you don't. It's a free will planet, right? Okay, and we now arrive at the final two stages, the sixth and the seventh. I sort of tend to merge them together, and they're called distillation and coagulation or solidification. I pack them together because, honestly, this is where we'll be spending the rest of our lives. Let's just be real here. Once we've gone through the initial five stages, we will most likely be on the loop of the sixth and the seventh stage, right? Distillation and solidification, back and forth, back and forth. Now, these last stages are all about continuously removing the impurities or integrating new shadow aspects so we could continue getting closer to our true essential self, because there are so many layers to our authentic self. We never just arrive at it. We can always drop deeper and take another layer off when we're ready. Right? So here we'll be continuously doing that, moving closer to unique essence, to our blueprint, to our purpose actualized. And I really think this is a perpetual dance as long as we're embodying these beautiful bodysuits, right? And I don't think this work can ever be completed, at least not in this incarnation, based on my own beliefs. I think it's about refining, it's meeting new aspects of ourselves, it's ebbing and flowing with life, it's being human being that houses a soul within, right? It's living in alignment and staying open to learn and to evolve. And this is where we continue with that unification of polarities, continue unifying and merging and befriending body and soul, masculine, feminine, spirit and matter. This is where our highest self, our inner knowing, our intuition resumes the role as the captain of the ship. And our thinking mind becomes its loyal right-hand man or woman. And these are the right places, because majority of us right now lead lives where the two have the roles reversed, where the mind that can be hacked, by the way, by all the programming that we talk about a lot, is leading the way. And your intuition or your higher self is kind of somewhere floating around being like, no, no, please, no. Quit the job. Marry the man. Right? This is in the last two changes where the two reverse, and when we can truly experience what it's like to be a human who is creating their reality. This is where all of the law of attraction and all the other modalities come in at the exalted version of them. Because here we finally feel at home in integrity. We're in creative mode, right? We flow. We embrace and embody and start living our purpose and walking that aligned path daily. We're not afraid anymore to follow that inner guidance, respect the inner world, and take action in the outer world. And doing all of that, living at one in integrity between our thoughts, our words, and our actions. And like I said, listen, we will still be challenged by circumstances, but we won't be feeling fearful and we won't be afraid of setbacks anymore. We will welcome them as opportunities to grow and learn. We will be co-creating in and co-creating with the world, right? And we will know, we will feel, and we'll experience that we are exactly where we're supposed to be. And that is, that is such a beautiful, expansive, yet calming feeling. And there you have it. The seven stages of alchemical or transformational career change. The whole process, it's liberating, it's chaotic, it's magical, it's awe-inspiring, it's raw. Yet this journey is so worth it. From my experience, from the experience of my clients, I can definitely tell you finding your purpose and starting to walk it is one of the most self-loving things you could do for yourself. And I hope that in spite of where you're currently at in this journey, you will find this map a little bit useful, that you will identify to some aspects of it. And hopefully this will give you a little bit of hope that there are those stages that will follow the stage that you're currently in, especially if you're at the beginning. Trust me, it gets better. And feel free to share with me which stage you're at. Like I always say, you'll mostly find me on Instagram. Come find me, have a chat with me. I'm always very curious to connect with you. To some of you, by the way, all of this might sound like a lot. Vilma, what are you talking about? Seven stages, so much work. Just give me, you know, my five steps, how to transition into purpose-led career, and I'll be happy. But honestly, I'll tell you, this whole process, while it might have sounded busy and a lot of work, once you give in, it's mostly intuitive process. You know why? Because you are this super advanced micro universe with so many intricate, magical systems and processes within that once you set sail on this path and you're intentional, you want to go there, your whole being will readjust. Okay? And this is, by the way, one of the biggest surprises I think many career changers seem to experience, at least in my process, is that they come in thinking that they will get just a nice career switch, but they leave with a complete life overhaul. Because it's not just a career change, it's inner revolution. Oh, this is where I'm going to peace out. I'm going to love you. I'm going to leave you. And I'm going to speak to you soon. Bye. Thank you for spending time with me today. If you'd like to take this work further, make sure you head over to the show notes and click on the scheduling link to book your consultation call. Can't wait to meet you.